Love Drives In, written by Barbara Cartland, narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1895. Dorina Radford eyed the tennis net, then concentrated on the ball as she prepared to serve. The mixed doubles match had been very finely balanced. The first set had gone to Dorina and her partner, Pierre Laforge. The second set had gone to their opponents. Now Dorina served for the match. She paused a long time until she was sure she had the stroke exactly right. It might only be a private match in the grounds of the Laforge mansion just north of Paris. Her opponents and the audience might only be guests of the house party arranged by Monsieur and Madame Laforge, and her partner might only be their son. But none of this would deter her from giving the serve everything she had. It was Dorina's way to throw her whole self into whatever she did. Even the most inconsequential action was performed with total concentration and determination. It was the only way to achieve success. Her father had told her that, and he had every reason to know. Starting from nothing, he had created an industrial empire. Industry was booming in England, and he was one of the driving forces behind it. Dorina swung her arm and watched with satisfaction as the ball flew over the net and straight between the other two. An ace! Game, set and match to Monsieur Laforge and Mademoiselle Radford. Cheers and applause from the spectators. Pierre and Dorina shook hands before advancing to the net to shake hands with their opponents. One of the spectators regarded Dorina judiciously. An excellent tennis player, he observed. An athlete, tall, slim, strong. In short, the new woman. Said his companion. To my mind, the new woman is too much like a man. Where is her femininity? Where is her grace? Where is the interest in fashion, without which no woman is truly a woman? Where is her... His hands described a figure eight. True, his friend conceded. She has none of these qualities. They exchanged shrugs. But her father is very rich, one of them conceded. They nodded. Dorina, passing close by, saw both the shrugs and the nods, and understood them. She was used to being regarded as a bit of an oddity. In fact, she supposed that she was one. Because her father had no son, he had been determined that his daughter should follow him when he retired. That made things far more difficult for her than they would have been to an ordinary girl. John Radford had become one of the wealthiest and most important men in the business and industrial world in the whole of England. He had, unlike many of his contemporaries, concentrated not only on England, but also on the countries abroad to which he hoped to export the goods he made. Since he saw Dorina as the future of the firm, he had made her start learning foreign languages when she was 10. As she grew up, she learned more and more, sometimes residing in England, but often travelling abroad to perfect her languages. She was very proud of the fact that she could speak and be understood in France, Spain, Italy, Germany and Holland. She knew that her father was proud of her, but she would have liked to spend more time with him. Sometimes he would come abroad to visit her, but even then his mind seemed to be on the work he had left behind at home. Last year, while they were together in Rome, he had said, I made up my mind, when I was very young, that I would not only be very rich, but, if possible, the richest man in the whole country. Papa, she had exclaimed, it's no use looking shocked, my dear. In business, the amount of money you make is the gauge of how successful you are. I wanted to be the richest man in England, and now I think that's what I have become. But you have nothing else in your life but your work, she had protested. Mama has been dead for more than 10 years now, and I think you should have married again. Then you might have had a son to train up for your empire. No, he said firmly. That could never be.